Now, with the seemingly never still, fast-paced life that we all lead, it's almost inevitable for us to be faced with mental health problems, emotional challenges, and even potentially be prone to developing psychiatric disorders. One potential method of aiding and treating these ever-present issues is psychotherapy. This morning, we're joined on the line by Romy Kunitz, a clinical and developmental psychologist, to discuss the nature and potential effectiveness of psychotherapy. Welcome, Romy. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Wilhelmina.
Okay, so how does... Yeah, it's great. It's great to sort of be able to talk to you about this because I'm sure there's a lot of our listeners who are interested. So how does psychotherapy work or operate?
So basically, psychotherapy is the treatment of mental disorders by psychological means more than with medication. And a psychologist basically applies scientifically validated procedures. So they are evidence-based, and they help people to develop healthier, more effective habits. And there are several approaches. Some people may have heard of cognitive behavioral therapy. Other people may have heard of interpersonal therapy. But basically, it is talk therapy, and it helps individuals work through their problems in ways other than going just onto medication or speaking to, like, friends.
Right. Okay. And so, what type of time frame does it work over? Is it something, because I can imagine with pills, there's quite an immediate response for some people. But then with psychotherapy, how, what's the time frame for that to work?
Well, it depends on what the person is, first of all, looking for, and also what you see, what their problem area is. So there's short-term therapy and there's long-term therapy. Long-term therapy would be for more, for things more like trauma, for grief, bereavement counseling, whereas there might just be some upsetting events or relationship problems, depression and anxiety that can be dealt with in a shorter period of time. And, you know, the government, through Medicare initiatives, through a GP mental health care plan, generally gives people about 10 sessions.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Yeah. So generally change is seen usually within a 3-month period for people. And that's with most conditions, except where it's very long-term and has a complex trauma nature.
Right. And are there some conditions that are more receptive to psychotherapy than others?
Yes. Well, depending on what it is, if it's, for example, phobias of elevators, perhaps if there's phobias of spiders, things like that can be dealt with sort of more short-term with combination of medication or not medication. So I think that sometimes people are quick to go on medication because they think it will be more of a quick fix, where psychotherapy involves engagement. It involves having to trust somebody and sit down with somebody and be committed to some sessions order to explore things. Yeah.
I guess, like you say, and it's them being involved in the process. And, you know, absolutely. I would say we're lazy by nature, aren't we? That if we think we can just take a tablet and maybe that will fix it, like you say, it might have a really short-term effect on it, but to have a long-term impact on addressing that phobia, investing that time and energy themselves might actually be the better way.
Completely.
What are some of the social and personal barriers for patients to engage in psychotherapy?
So, you know, even though this has changed obviously a lot in today's times, there's a lot of stigma associated. A lot of people will say, and it's sort of a standard thing that people will say is, I need to get through stuff myself. And if I'm going for therapy, it's like a last resort. It really means that there's something wrong. Maybe I have, the whole mental illness thing. And also, my problems are not as bad as somebody else's. So that often prevents people from going for therapy because they can't normalize that, you know, their individual experience, whatever it is, even if it's not so bad, they can still go for therapy. And actually, it's better for people to go for therapy before the situation gets worse so that they can be helped to be given skills so that, you know, it can be prevented from getting worse.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah. So look at it as sort of a almost the first stop as opposed to the last stop to help things stop from magnifying. How can more awareness be raised for patients to consider psychotherapy as a potential treatment option?
I think, you know, through the internet, I think it's sort of suggested that about 40% of people generally go to the internet to, you know, look up psychotherapists either through, you know, counselling pages or, you know, just obviously looking on the web. But a lot of word of mouth kind of referrals are sometimes, you know, more prevalent in terms of people going to friends, family members and saying, can you recommend somebody that I can see? So I think it's a hard one because, I think unless you've actually tried psychotherapy yourself, sometimes you don't know what it's going to be like. But maybe more awareness within schools, within hospitals, through flyers, through just creating more awareness by talking about it. Yep. A lot of the time, you know, maybe nurses and doctors, unless they're in private practice, they talk about it, but not generally always within, you know, government health facilities, et cetera.
And I guess, like you say, that talking amongst family and friends and that word of mouth referral, it's almost like the word of mouth referral makes it that there's a familiarity to the therapy or the therapist or the treatment method, and that automatically gives people a much more open mindset towards it.
Yes, exactly. And it decreases that stigma as well. Yeah. I a lot of people say, oh, well, I heard people talking about that they go to therapy and that made them just ask the person, oh, really? Because they felt like it was much more normalised. If my friend is going or my work colleague is going, then it's okay for me to go.
Yeah. And are there certain age groups or can psychotherapy be applied across the ages?
Look, definitely. Adolescents and young people are often very resistant. You know, it's a time of risk-taking and of, you know, it's sometimes very, very difficult for a young person. And I think also, again, to sort of trying to destigmatize the whole process and not to force the young person is what's very important.
Yeah.
Adults are generally perhaps more, you know, older adults are generally more open, you can't say all the time, but are more open to going for counselling than perhaps the younger population. But that could also be a bit of a generalization. A lot of the time, parents often want their children or their young children to go for counselling, for example, if there's a divorce or there's a family situation which maybe calls for some extra emotional support. And my suggestion is always that the adult goes themselves and sees whether they can work through some stuff or just kind of get their emotions out, get some perspective, and then if their child is needing something and they feel like they're not managing it or they don't feel more confident within themselves to manage it, then to make referral for children.
Yeah.
So I think that a lot of the time people are kind of quick to send their child for therapy or for medications without actually exploring stuff just in a space where they can feel safe.
Yeah.
And comfortable with a therapist.
Yeah. I think that's a great point. The doing it or experiencing it first and then recommending it on to a child or even doing it together.
Yes.
Romy,
yes.
Thank you so much for your time and for helping us explore and understand.
It was a pleasure and I hope that people will benefit from this.
Yes, definitely. Thank you, Romy. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.